These are actual quotations from the journal of that soldier, Philip Armstrong, who in the following days and years remaining in the occupation, together with other men and women in the service, began a ministry, first to the troops, and then later on to Filipinos and to Japanese. And they saw the spiritual need of the countries where they served as soldiers. And when their tour of duty was finished, they returned to the United States and formed a missionary sending organization. At that time, it was called the Far Eastern Gospel Crusade. And today, it is called Send International. And so I'm pleased this morning at Mike's invitation to share with you a bit about the Lord's work through Send and how he has used it as one of his tools along the way. And of course, it's one of many. There are many fine organizations serving the Lord in foreign contexts, in cross-cultural contexts. Even when I think of Krasnoyarsk, where we lived last in Russia, there were two organizations with whom we cooperated, both of whom are friends of West London. One, Trans World Radio. And Trans World Radio has their booth set up this morning, too, for information regarding their ministry. 200 languages they broadcast in. And they receive over 1.5 million responses every year to those broadcasts that they follow up with literature and other ministries. We sometimes refer to them as the Air Force because they send the radio waves out, and we can cooperate by planting the churches, and then as they're aware of those churches, as people respond to the radio programs, they can be directed to the local body of believers and participate there. The other ministry that I thought of was Campus Crusade for Christ, or Campus for Christ now, right? They've adjusted slightly, and Eric and Don are part of that ministry here in London, but also in Krasnoyarsk, they have a ministry at Krasnoyarsk State University. And Kostya and Yana there, we would meet together and pray. We were just personal friends of ours there as they were in the campus ministry there and woven into the churches as well. So it's a great cooperative effort. And these booths are here, by the way, with literature on them for you to pass by. And whether there's somebody there in particular or not, you're welcome to avail yourself of that literature. Send International is a multi-denominational evangelical church planting mission. Multi-denominational because we are formed of different church traditions woven together into a family. All of those church traditions are evangelical, meaning that we hold to the authority of God's word and believe it to be the Lord's instruction that we proclaim the gospel, that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life and died on the cross to pay the price for the sins of humanity, and that if we would receive him by faith, we may receive the gift of God, God's gift of eternal life, and look forward to eternity with him. People sometimes ask me, well, how did you get interested in missions? Did you have a burden on your heart? Did the Lord really put missions in your heart all through your life? And for me, it was not like that. In fact, my experience began a number of years ago in Bible college. I had a plan for my life. I had it figured out. In fact, I was intending to be a medical doctor. And through a youth event that I went to, I decided, okay, I'll go to Bible college for 1 year. 1 year. And so off I went to Bible college, and I enjoyed it very much. And you can't graduate from Briarcrest anyway in 1 year. So I just took the courses that I thought would be great to take. And I took a smattering of different things. And then I decided to go for a second year. And if I wanted to graduate, that meant that I had to fill up my program with the right courses during my second year. And one of the courses that I had not taken in the first year was freshman missions class. I wasn't interested in missions. I had very little awareness of missions. And so I had to take this class, which had three big strikes against it. Number one was I wasn't at all interested in missions. Didn't know anything about it. Foreign topic. Literally, I guess. I never thought of it that way. Secondly, this was a freshman class, and I was an upperclassman. And so I had no friends in the class and no reason, you know, to mingle with the freshmen. And number three, maybe most importantly of all, was it was at 7:50 in the morning. And so I took myself to this class as faithfully as I could manage and parked myself in the back row of the lecture hall where the professor still says she can remember. Dr. Barsness was her name. Dr. Barsness can still remember seeing me sit in the back row with my long hair and saying to herself, there's the last person that the Lord will ever use in missions. One of the assignments that she assigned was to interview missionaries. We had to interview two missionaries during the course of the semester and gave us a list of questions and whatnot. At Briarcrest, we always knew where we could find a missionary because right outside the library doors, there was a little bit of an open space there, and that's where all the missionaries would set up their booths and pass out their literature. We would call it propaganda sometimes. They would pass out their literature and whatnot. So you knew where to find a missionary. Right away, I was very disciplined at the beginning of the semester, getting everything done, got my first interview done, and then time passed, a little more time passed, and then, oh boy, it's due tomorrow. So I headed for the library to where I knew I could find a missionary. And there I got in line behind all my other classmates who were also there to do their interviews. So I did the interview that evening and then went through the questions. Did you learn a foreign language? What's it like to live in a foreign culture? Training, all these different questions. It was a good exercise. And at the end of that interview, that missionary asked me, have you ever considered missions? Turned the tables and I said, I'm supposed to be asking the questions here. Have you ever considered missions? And I said, no, I haven't. Thank you very much. Thanks for the interview. Good night. And went back to my dorm room, turned on my trusty Commodore 64, and did my assignment. And at the end of the evening, I at least had an earnest enough walk with the Lord that I did pray, Lord, if you have something for me in this, please show me. So the next morning, of course, was a 7:50 morning. Went to class and then went to chapel. And in that chapel, there was a presentation for an upcoming short-term missions trip to the Philippines. It happened to be with an agency called Send International. And some say, well, Mags, that was just coincidence. But to me at that time, it was not coincidence. That was the Lord answering that prayer in my mind. And he began through that experience to change the course of my life gradually. He brought people across my path that made me aware of things that I had never been aware of. He allowed me to experience things. That summer was 10 weeks in the Philippines where I was mentored by a Filipino pastor. He just put me in his back pocket, took me everywhere he went, did everything that he did, preached my first sermon in the Philippines, led a Bible study, a small group for the first time in the Philippines. He translated for me. And then afterwards, he would take me home at night and say, well, you did this well, and you did this well, but you need to think about this, so next week, you're on again. That summer began to change the course of my life, made me aware of the need in missions. And I headed off to university. I should mention, just to be fair, that there was a pretty young lady on that mission team, too. Kathleen Hayes, then, was on that team. And so I can say that I chased her all the way around the world. Kathleen and I were married when she graduated from Bible college. I was at university at that time. And then we served for a couple of years in an associate pastor role at a church out west. And then we moved to Kyiv, Ukraine, and spent 5 years there, and then an additional year in a city called Krasnoyarsk. Now, I'd just like you to think for a minute, if you could think of the one place that you would not want the Lord to send you to, where would it be? Siberia? That's where the Lord sent us. I don't know what I did. Oh, maybe it was the long hair in missions class or something. We served there for a year. I taught in a Bible school. And wherever we were, we always served in a church plant. That's what Send is about. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. And now we live back here in London, as Mike said, and serve in the Home Office as Canadian Director. One of my roles is to have a type of public ministry and to speak to different groups. And I just wanted to mention this. I overlooked it last time, Mike, in the earlier service. But some of you at least prayed for me while I was away over the last couple of weeks. That was mentioned, I know. And I just wanted to say thank you and that the Lord blessed that time. Last weekend was a missions conference at Peace River Bible Institute, and I was the speaker at that conference, and the Lord answered your prayers and worked amongst the students and in my heart as well as I shared with them. Thank you for praying. So usually what I'm doing here at West London is having an opportunity to preach. Today will be a little bit different, where I won't focus on a particular text, but I would like, if you would consider it this way, to be a parenthesis in this sermon series that Mike is ongoing through 2 Timothy, Pay the Price. And we've considered all kinds of different elements of that, and he's challenged us with being good soldiers, suffering, if necessary, as good soldiers for the gospel, and to be tough at different times with ourselves as necessary. And I would like to present this as a complement, as an additional element of what it may mean for us, maybe even some of us here, to pay the price for the gospel. And I hope that you'll find it informative and interesting, even enjoyable, as we consider these things together, some mission-related realities. Let me introduce you to SEND. SEND International has a two-part motto, if you will, or purpose statement. It looks like this. SEND International exists to establish the church where it does not exist and to serve the church where it does exist. So if there is a church in a particular area where our missionaries are, even a fledgling church, we want to serve and build that church up. But sometimes our missionaries do what we call frontier evangelism, and they may be the first believers to be in an area or among a certain people group. And they are the first to bring the gospel there. And we seek to establish the church so that it may grow up and toward maturity. We use our name, SEND International. It was about 25 years ago that the name changed from Far Eastern Gospel Crusade to SEND. And we use the four letters of SEND to describe how we go about this mission. So, S-E-N-D, the first S is to start new churches. It's all about the church, and we say we are church planters. Some people say, well, that's missionary talk. What is it? What is church planting? If you would take the analogy of a tree, an oak tree, let's say, and you begin with a seed, for the life cycle of an oak tree, that seed must be placed in the soil, and the conditions must be appropriate. And if they are appropriate, then that seed will sprout, and it'll begin to send roots down into the soil for nourishment, and it will begin to send a shoot upward for sunshine. And as it grows, the roots grow down, and they're strengthened, and the shoot becomes a stem, and then a trunk, with branches and leaves. So there's the elements of growing down for its nourishment and being stable and strong in the earth. When the winds blow, the root system holds it steady. And visible in the world with its branches and trees. And if that tree should grow to maturity, then it will reproduce as well. And it will produce seeds that will fall on the ground nearby and some that may be even carried a distance away. And as the cycle goes, the seeds fall on a soil, and the cycle repeats itself. And that is the vision and desire and philosophy of this organization, to be involved in planting those seeds, Lord willing, into soil that has been prepared by His Spirit, and then cooperating with the Lord and with His people to see that tree nurtured. The roots go down deep, and the trunk and the branches go up strong and visible. And ultimately, that it grow to maturity so that it can reproduce as well. The last three letters of our name help us explain simply how we go about this. By evangelism, by nurturing disciples, and developing leaders. Evangelism, simply sharing the gospel and proclaiming the good news. But wanting to see those believers, those baby believers, if you will, grow to maturity. So the process of discipleship and teaching and training. And then further, beyond discipleship, is leadership training, so that eventually the believers in that people group can stand, mature, and that Ukrainians can lead and teach Ukrainians, and Russians can lead and teach Russians. So that's the picture of the philosophy of ministry that we have. At the Bible College, where we served in Siberia, I was one of five people serving on the executive team. There was a director, an academic dean, a men's dean, a ladies' dean, and a librarian. And at the time I served there, I was the academic dean, and I was the only remaining foreign missionary serving on that leadership team. The director is a Russian. everyone else is Russian, and they have taken up the leadership of that. We still help. It's as though our arms are linked together. We're still brothers serving together in Christ. But no longer do they depend on us in nearly the same way. And the church grows to maturity. So there's a picture of send and some of the philosophy of send. Where in the world do we work? I'd like to show you the map, the world of send. As we learned through Philip Armstrong's experience in the Philippines, that's where send was born. First in the Pacific Rim, the Philippines and Japan, and then later expanded to Taiwan and into East Asia and some of the major cities that are there. And in the ensuing years, ministry areas have been opened in Alaska and northern Canada, in Europe, and throughout Eurasia in the former Soviet Union, where our family served. In keeping with this philosophy, one of our new leaders, his name is Warren Jansen, he has taken hold of this phrase, Missions 360. Missions 360 degrees, to illustrate that if we've done our job completely, we trust that we'll start at evangelism and move through nurturing of disciples and the development of leaders and back to that maturing point where that church that was initially planted by the missionaries then sends out its own missionaries. And they begin to participate in the cycle. And so I've just highlighted here with a few little circles, Ukraine, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, and Hong Kong are all now sending areas. We don't send missionaries just from Canada and the United States, but also from these places where our missionaries originally went to share the gospel, and the church has grown to maturity so that they are sending out missionaries to other countries now. And to try and show you one of the places where this happens, Far East Russia, it's way out here, just above those yellow dots, on the green at the edge of the red circle. If you can imagine that place in the world, I'd like to show you a DVD presentation that will just take you there with a few sights and sounds. Christian's task is proclaiming this good news. I appreciate that last line of James there. So that is how, on one of our fields, it looks. In Far East Russia, and looks a lot like the places where we served as a family, too. I would like to bring you now to Canada and just quickly share the type of ministry that we have from our office here in Kamoka. It's out in Kamoka, our office. This is a picture of the staff that work in the office. I have the privilege of working with them day in and day out. And they represent experience from across the world, from East Asia, from Alaska, from Japan, from the Philippines, from Hong Kong. And Audrey has been short-term, and us from Russia. The Lord has brought us together with a lot of experience to serve in different ways. And we are a facilitating type of ministry, seeking to serve churches here as they send people abroad. Somebody said, you're like a global platform for our church. And that was a good description, we thought. Actually, one of my colleagues is here this morning, Laverne Fair. She's right in the middle of this picture, in the middle, but she's sitting right in the middle at the back over there. You can wave to Laverne. Glad that Laverne could be here this morning. She usually goes to Stony Creek Baptist. I'm glad that she could be here with us this morning. Thank you, Laverne. The types of ministries that we have are, as I said, facilitating. And Laverne is an example of that. She, after serving 24 years in the Philippines, now is the candidate coordinator. So if someone is serving for more than a year from Canada, she helps prepare them all through the application process and through the training to get them ready to go. Just quickly, a list of things and the types of ministries that go out from Send Canada. The first is short-term teams. And short-term ministries range from 2 weeks to 2 years in length. That looking like short-term? Yeah. They can be composed of individuals from different churches or couples. Ron and Ingrid Standish this summer were in Poland with Send and served for several weeks there. They can be teams from churches. You saw some of the construction teams working on the church. Teams from colleges. And they come in all kinds of sizes and shapes and lengths of terms. I have a list here, actually, of 14 different summer possibilities coming up this summer, 2007. So if you're curious about that, wondering, no strings attached. You can ask without worrying. But if you would like to consider something like that, I'd be delighted to think and pray with you about that. Laverne will be at one of the booths, too. Student internships for those that are studying. Lengths usually not less than a month, but up to 12 months. Students who are studying in university or college of some sorts can do their internships and receive academic credit on the field. We continue to trust the Lord for career missionaries and put forth the challenge. And I put the challenge to you again this morning. Would the Lord call out of our number here missionaries to serve him somewhere around the world? Would the Lord call someone of us to lay down our lives of relative comfort and ease, relative, to move somewhere where there's a different culture, perhaps a different language, in order to be salt and light in that place? It might mean going as a vocational missionary and doing Christian things, but it can also mean a lot of other things, using our life experience and expertise. And that's the next thing. We call it new career missionaries for those that are in careers of all sorts and set aside their career either temporarily or long-term to go and be an electrician or a builder or a teacher or a lawyer in some part of the world where there is little Christian witness. Finishers refers to that group of people who are at or near retirement and have tremendous life skill and experience to contribute. We were the beneficiaries in Kyiv of a couple, Nancy and Everett Henderson, who retired. That's like graduation, right? They retired and then became the team leader, actually, in Kyiv for many years. And what a tremendous blessing it was to have that presence, mature presence, all us young people running around, oh no, what are we going to do? And Everett says, just relax. He had that presence that experience brings. Creative access ministries. There are some places where missionaries serve, and we cannot say that they are missionaries. We don't advertise that. Their passport will have something else written in there. And yet they use their gifts and their skills deliberately to be the Lord's representatives there. And then we also finally help with resourcing the kingdom work, helping to wisely distribute resources, financial resources, I mean, in this case, from North America to valid and important ministries around the world. And we cover it all in prayer. I mentioned prayer in particular, partly because that's what Sent and what Kath does as her ministry assignment is she prepares a monthly prayer bulletin of missionaries who are serving, Canadian missionaries who are serving abroad. And it looks like this or like that. And we have been asking the Lord to add to the number of prayers. The leader of the OMS ministry, Overseas Missionary Society, said that the greatest obstacle to the Lord's work today is not lack of money or lack of people, but lack of prayer. So my challenge is to you is to consider praying. Whether you are a giver or a goer, I would also encourage you to be a prayer. And this is one possibility. There are some copies at the booth, and I have a copy here if you'd like a hard copy. And Kath also sends out the email so we can get it to your email box. I also wanted to ask you whether you've seen this book before. It's called Operation World. Would you show me if any of you have seen this book? Okay, now you've all seen it. Right. What it is, it's like an encyclopedia of the world that will guide you in praying. So that if you were to follow the schedule in there, over the course of a year, you would pray through all the nations of the world, and it provides information on what's going on in that particular place. Last night I was praying for Tunisia, a country of 10 million people in northern Africa, and there are probably as many Christians in this room right now as there are in that country of 10 million people. They estimate about 200 people are evangelical believers in Tunisia. And today you turn over to November 5th to the 7th, and it's Turkey. So it gives information on Turkey and how to pray, guides you in your prayers. I would encourage you to consider that. It's a hard copy. If you'd flip one slide ahead, please, John. Okay, one more slide, please. There we go. This is what it looks like on the DVD, or a CD-ROM, rather. And they have a website, too, so you can have it pop up as one of your home pages. And each day in the morning, it will bring you to the new page so that you can pray intelligently about things going on around the world. If you would go to slide 35 for me, please, Jonathan. Slide 35. Everybody wonders, what is slide 35? Slide 35 is what I call the 95 to 5 slide. I just want to consider as we close, as we finish, the remaining task of world evangelization as one of those things that we are called to do as we make known the greatness of God and as we pay the price. What is the remaining task before us? And the 95 to 5 slide refers to those who are preparing for vocational Christian service. So that means those students who are in Bible institutes or Bible colleges or seminaries. 95% of those students are planning to do ministry in North America. And North America currently represents 5% of the world's population. And so I mention this to illustrate the imbalance that we have. That although we have lots of training going on, and good training, that the majority of those students are intending to use their gifts and their training for the Lord's glory in North America, which I celebrate and say is a good thing. But I also want to draw attention to the fact that North America is perhaps the most evangelized area of the world, the number of churches that we have available to us, and represents only 5% of the world's population. 9% in Latin America, 12% in Europe, 13% in Africa, about 0.5% down in the islands, and over 61% of the world's population in Asia. So my question is, as North American believers, are we paying the price? And I'd like to share a quote with you. It's a longer quote, so I've got it up here. It's written by Nate Saint. Nate Saint was one of the missionaries who was martyred 50 years ago in Ecuador with with Jim Elliot. You may have seen the movie End of the Spear. Have anyone seen the movie End of the Spear? May I recommend it to you? It was still available at Rogers only a couple of weeks ago, I saw there. You can get it from Rogers, and it is the dramatized story of the missionaries who went there, but not only their martyrdom, how the Lord used that afterwards. It's a great movie, well worth the time. Nate Saint was the pilot on that team, one of those five men, and this is what he wrote. People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted. A challenge to us, are we paying the price as God's people in North America? Very quickly, as we close, I want to show you what it looks like, the remaining task. There's a little pie graph here that represents the population of the world. Approximately one-third of the world calls themselves Christian. That doesn't necessarily mean that they would have an evangelical view as we do, but they may be cultural Christians as well. For example, in Russia, many of the people among whom we worked called themselves Christians but had no relationship or understanding of the Lord's sacrifice for them. It was just something that they were. The orange pie across the bottom, 40% of the world, has opportunity to hear the gospel or has heard the gospel, but has chosen not to receive it. Also a group that we would like to have missionaries among, but they may be Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, or some other people group that holds to an animist religion or some other religion, and they do not want the gospel, but they have opportunity to hear it. And the red part of the pie, 27%, represents those in the world today that have little or no opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the good news of the gospel. 27% without churches, without missionaries. That is what the remaining task looks like. Nate Satan's son, his name is Steve, he's the little boy in that movie, by the way, if you see that movie. He's done a little bit of math. He's a missionary as well. And I'd like to share it with you. This was his idea, not mine, initially. But he says, go to slide. There it is. Thank you. The slide with math on it says that in the world today, we have approximately, don't get too caught up on the numbers, but approximately 448,000 missionaries sent cross-culturally serving. That's a very generous number. Some of the figures I came across were half of that. It depends on how you define a missionary. People who stay for more than a year, people that go for 2 weeks. But people who go as missionaries cross-culturally, 448,000 currently serving. The next term is something that I've called ministry range. If each of those missionaries had a ministry range of reaching 500 people, I'll go out from below the speaker, that's why I hear the feedback, 500 people. That's a bit ideal, maybe, to have every single missionary reach 500 people. But let's do the math this way. It's just an example. If that was the case, 448,000 missionaries reaching 500 people, we would have a collected ministry range of 224 million people. The missionaries that are currently sent can reach 224 million people. I want to leave that figure there, the 224 million. And show you the estimated unreached people, that 27% of the pie, is a figure that looks like this. 1.6 billion. And that is a conservative estimate, I would add. 1.6 billion people in the world today have not heard of Jesus and have little or no opportunity to. And the way that Steve tried to show this, and I will follow his example, was to use a ribbon. And I've used yellow here. It doesn't matter that danger is written on it. It's yellow to match with the number that I have up there. Andrew, would you come and give me a hand just for a minute, please? Vanderplug? Thanks. This is measured out, this ribbon, by a factor of 10 million. So I've divided that number by 10 million to come up with 160 feet. So we're just going to stretch this across the front of the church. Would you do that? If this comes near you, just put a hand on it and let it go past you. And would you just walk that way, and I'll just stop about here. Just grab that JP there and hold it down there so it goes around. Thanks. Each foot of this tape represents 10 million people who have not heard the gospel, which means that every inch... Keep going, Andrew. He's going back. He's back around there now. Each inch is about 880,000 people. Great. Thanks. There. Thank you. You can stop, Andrew. Well, it stretches more than across the front. But as a representative, you can see the yellow tape where it goes all the way around this way. Thanks for holding it, those who are holding it. Representing those people who have no opportunity to hear. This is the remaining task. Thanks, Andrew. If you can just hold there for a sec. I have another orange tape here. Would you help me just for a sec? Just take that end. And would you walk along the same path there? Thanks. I'll match it up here. Okay, stop. Stop. Whoop, 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 whoop. Thanks. That's the missionary force. Not the missionary force, but the collected combined ministry range of the missionaries that are sent out. The difference being that the yellow represents people who have no opportunity to hear the gospel, only that portion of the pie, whereas this represents the entire pie. If I were to represent to you the missionaries that are sent to the yellow tape, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six inches. Because only 2% of the missionary force goes to the yellow tape. This is the remaining task. And I believe, and I know Mike does too, we've chatted enough, that part of what it means to pay the price is for us as God's people who know the gospel to share the gospel and to find ways and to participate in making God's greatness known among the nations. As we close, I'd like to read from Romans chapter 10 together. If you would read aloud with me, please, this text, and then we'll pray together. Let's read. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let's pray together. Lord, we do declare our trust in your sovereignty over all things. And yet we are confronted by the reality of many people around the world who are outside the range of the gospel right now. And I pray that you would help us, that you would move us as your people to make known your greatness. Whether it is across the street or around the world, Lord, I pray that you would move us to participate in your work. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to reach more and more of those people in the 1040 window, in Asia, in Africa, in the Middle East, where there is so little gospel witness. Would you raise up from our number and send out from our number, Lord, messengers who will bear the gospel there? We lift you up to the highest place, Lord, because you are worthy to receive the praise of all the nations, of Canada in the Western world, but also the 1040 window in Africa and Asia and the islands and Europe and Latin America. And Lord, here for our part, we lift your name on high and pray that you would move us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name.